To see everybody here. I think what we're going to do, we're going to start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you'd join me in the pledge, I'd appreciate it.
I pledge
allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And then I thought we might go around and start with some introductions. Carl, since you're the farthest away, I'll start with you.
Carl Johnson, Planning Commissioner.
Ron Barka, Planning Commissioner.
I'll start that.
Chris Cook, Deputy Prosecuting Attorney.
Good evening. My name is Chris Horn. I'm a Deputy Prosecutor.
And I'm Oliver Ojako with Clark County Community Planning.
David Medor, Clark County Commissioner.
Tom Milkey, County Commissioner.
Mark McCauley, County Administrator.
Eileen Quiring, Planning Commissioner.
John Blum, Planning Commissioner.
And thank you all for being here this evening and continue to work on a very, very a big subject. With that, I think we're going to start off with staff. Give us some kind of idea of what we're doing.
Thank you, Commissioners, and good evening, everyone. As I indicated, my name is Oliver Ojako, and I will be providing the Commissioners with an overview of what have happened in terms of the surface mining overlay. But before I begin, let me quickly walk the board and the Planning Commission on what is before you in terms of your packet. We have tried our best to assemble the work, including the minutes of the Planning Commission, the testimony, the staff reports that went to the Planning Commission, the recommendation of the task force that the board appointed to work with staff to review the inventory that was prepared by the state, and then the recommendation of the Planning Commission. In your packet, you also have three maps, which we will show on the overhead to project it so that everyone can see that. There are three maps. The first map is the inventory that was done by the state, followed by the map showing the recommendation of the task force, and finally the map showing the recommendation from the Planning Commission. I will also say that all this package for the public, it is available on the Planning Commission website. So if you access that, all this material is in there. You can review that or print it at your own desire. So we did not make copies because it is very voluminous, but it is on our website. So you can access it there. Before I begin, let me just, in terms of the overview, the county, if I may, have had mining, I would say before 1990. Some areas in the county have been have mining going on, and in the 1980s, the county designated what we at the time was calling, or the county was calling, surface mining combining district. That's what the county had in 1980. And then the zoning of the entire county occurred again in 1980, with the county retaining the surface mining combining district, identifying what uses are permitted outright and what uses occur through the conditional use permit. When the Growth Management Act was passed in 1990, the county was required to identify mineral resource land and designate them as such. So in 1994, the county assembled what was then called Mineral Land Task Force. And they also went through and identified and designated surface mining in Clark County to comply with the state growth management statute. And that designation plus the existing mining is what the county has been operating under until in 2005, the Department of Natural Resource, DNR, their geological or geology division conducted an inventory, not just for Clark County, but the entire state. That work was completed in 2005. Clark County is as required to plan under GMA, was required to update our surface mining or mineral resource land using their best available science, if you will, or the best available information from the state. So in early 2011 or so, the county Board of Commissioners appointed a task force to help staff use the state mapping or inventory to update our surface mining or mineral resource land in Clark County. Members of that task force included Virgil Burnett, Bob Short, Richard Fazio, Linda Ractanus, Bob Repman, Jeff Ristin, Richard Dryland, and Chuck Rose. Those were the members of the task force that the board appointed. That task force started their work in early 2011, staffed by Mike Mabry, who at the beginning of this month retired, and had a series of meetings open to the public. We recorded all their minutes and posted on our website. We created a website for the surface mining update. The task force, through in reviewing the inventory prepared by the state, completed their work in sometime in 2013. We started having work sessions with the board and also with the Planning Commission and commenced public hearing October of 2013. The Planning Commission had a series of their own work session and hearings, more than four hearings that in some cases lasted more than two, three, 4 hours. I must say that at the time, Ron Becker was the chair. They did a good job listening to the public, reviewing all the work criteria that they're supposed to use and taking public testimony, and arrive at the recommendation that they did. What I will quickly do is, on the overhead, show the board and the public. The public have seen it. I believe the Planning Commission saw that, and some members of the task force who are here was the map that they use in their work. So, Jose, if you can show the map prepared by the Geology Division of the DNR. This map is the inventory that was prepared by the state, and as you can see, it shows what they're calling gravel, bedrock, and then areas that they've identified that has potential or hypothetical resource or potential resource. This was the map that the task force and staff started really working on. Some of the areas that they showed having hypothetical rock has single family homes on it already. So the task force and staff went through a process to eliminate areas that currently have single family home built, rural 5, rural 10, rural 20, some areas that has ag but has homes on it. So through that process of elimination, recognizing what was already on the ground, the task force went area by area and made a recommendation that we took to the Planning Commission, which will be the next map. This map, which is also in your packet, the board and the Planning Commission, is the recommendation of the task force that the board appointed. And again, they went area by area, also identifying new areas that surface mining should be applied and existing areas where rock may have already been depleted that needs no longer have the surface mining overlay. I know it's very difficult to see, but this is the best map that we have, and we can enlarge it if the board wants. But when this map was presented to the Planning Commission, it was numbered, with the exception of areas that were recommended in yellow with cross hash to not apply the surface mining overlay. We have area 1 through 15. The area that was very, very controversial when we went to the Planning Commission were area 12, 13, and 14. And the 12, 13, and 14, if you look below 14, there is an existing, that's the Livingston Mountain area. The area below area 14 is currently being mined. You can see the crosshatch area. And area 14 is north of that. The recommendation, and then you can see area, I believe, 10, whereby the property owner, in their testimony, did not want the surface mining to be placed on their property. They testified to the fact that they've cleaned the property up and would like to utilize the property differently, and I think and that the quality of the rock, there was indeed no identification of a significant amount of aggregate resource on their property. The final map, and I'm rushing this quickly, the final map is the recommendation that came out of the Planning Commission process. And as you can see, the Planning Commission returned pretty much the recommendation of the task force, with the exception of area 10, 12, 13, and 14. 12, 13, and 14 are the Livingston Mountain area, and this was significantly based on the Planning Commission utilizing the work factors and arriving at the recommendation that they did, plus the testimony that they received. And that, in a nutshell, is the overview of the surface mining project. I did not go through the work factors and the RCWs. Our legal counsel will provide an overview of that to the board and to the planning commission and members of the audience. So that quickly summarizes where what we've done and how we got to this point.
Yeah. Oliver, would you show us where the DNR property is? What number is that?
DNR property is north, is number 14.
So when I read my map, Oliver, it's crossed, hatched, and it's yellow. So that means it was an existing surface mining overlay, and then when it became painted yellow, that was removal of surface mining overlay.
In terms of the recommendation, yes, but the area 14 doesn't have the surface mining overlay on it, Commissioner. I will refer you to Yeah, I will refer you to the mineral lands.
Okay, I'm looking at the wrong spot.
Yes, Area 14. Below Area 14, there is an existing mining site. So if you were to apply the surface mining overlay as was recommended for the by the task force, you will be, in essence, expanding the current surface mining overlay. It doesn't have it now.
Livingston Mountain.
Livingston Mountain, yes.
And 13?
13 is in the vicinity of the Livingston Mountain area, as well as 12.
Okay.
I have some questions.
Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Right now we have 12, or we have a quarry on Livingston Mountain, and the question is, the present processes, the current processes that allow for extraction, are they permitted or are they conditional?
You want to answer?
Sure. Extraction is permitted.
Okay. And we have the freedom to define any further operations as conditional. Is that right? Okay.
And that's correct.
That is correct. That would require changing the code.
Yes. Yes. And we have the freedom to change the code as long as we stay within the constraints of the law, state law.
I think that it is necessary to change the code as part of this update. And the PC did make extensive recommendations that after consideration and discussion line by line, more than once they made extensive recommendations on code updates.
The key thing that I think helps bring clarity to this whole process is to separate two very different things. One is to identify the locations of known materials and the preservation, which is the primary thing that the state is mandating us to do, and keep that completely separate from the conditions that have to do with the extraction. If we tackle this in two different problems, in two different components of the problem, and reserve the conditions for extraction to make sure that the private property rights of the neighboring areas are protected, that the transportation requirements are adequate, those things are conditions that can be specified for the future if extraction is somehow, if those conditions are permitted, they would have to, I assume we have the freedom to be able to define if they need brand new roads in areas that would stay away from areas that are more sensitive. We have the freedom to do that, I take it?
Well, I think that would depend on whether, on what the capital facilities plan says and on whether the area is rural or urban.
Well, if I understand correctly, the capital facilities plan is a plan of identified, is a list of transportation improvements with either a 6-year or a 20-year time frame. And if this process is to identify and preserve resources for possibly generations, that could very well extend beyond our own capital facilities plans at this point, which would be short term in comparison.
I'm afraid I don't know exactly what your point is, but if it is that it's desirable or legal to designate mineral resource lands without regard to transportation facilities, that would be contrary to the Washington Administrative Code.
Well, that's what I think we need to find out to clarify. Can the known resources be identified without identifying and specifying at the same time the extraction requirements, the conditions upon which they can be extracted? Can they be separated, and can we do this, separate this into two separate processes? One is just simply identifying what's there, and as a second step, possibly months from now, define those conditions for that it would have to be met for extraction to responsibly occur.
Simply saying where the rock is not designating mineral resource lands under the Growth Management Act. The Growth Management Act requires a considerably more complex analysis than looking at a map and saying rock is here. The statute states the county shall designate mineral resource lands that are not already characterized by urban growth and that have long-term significance for the extraction of minerals. So it's not a question only of what does the map say about where the rock is, but it's a question about making a judgment concerning the long-term significance for the extraction of minerals. For example, there might be lots of minerals on Mount St. Helens. They wouldn't necessarily have long-term significance for extraction. I just used that silly example to avoid naming anything that is on the table right now. The other statutory directive is, in designating mineral resource lands, the county shall consider guidelines established in the Washington Administrative Code. That's not optional. So there are a number of different areas of analysis that must be examined in the process of designating mineral resource lands.
Let me just pull an example to make sure I understand. If we have a spot on the map that's out in the away from all roads, and there's known materials there, if that state law would not allow us to designate that. That wouldn't allow us to put it on the map because there's no means currently to extract that material. It would require building new roads in the future, and that does not exist, so we can't put it on the map now.
I did not say that. What I said is that it must be considered. So one of the things that you might want to consider in that circumstance is, what are the surrounding lands? Are they lands through which a roadway could be built at some point? Who owns that property? Does that property have access to a road somewhere? And what is the owner's interest in dealing with this land? So I could talk about the various things that are supposed to be considered, but those are just a few of them.
Another example, just simply because we need to be able to know what the law requires versus when it comes to identifying and what the law requires, what the conditions that we can set in order to ensure that the neighboring properties are protected. So here's another example. Assume we have a spot on the map and we have a road that goes through all the neighborhoods, and that's the current road that goes there. And there, if in the future, a generation from now, there is another road that we could easily build that could obtain, that would provide a transportation route to and from that, they didn't go through the neighborhoods, does that mean that we should put that on the map, or we shouldn't put that on the map?
I hate to not answer you, but I must not answer you. That is a policy decision that must be made by yourselves, commissioners, after having given consideration to that circumstance and all the other factors that are required by the statute and the regulations.
So let me step in and chime in on that. I guess that brings us back to recognizing that some of the stuff that we didn't do very well before, and that was to go back and change our statute, our ordinance, to recognize conditional use permits on a one-by-one basis, because every situation is going to be different. And so a conditional use permit would not necessarily be a blanket permit, because everyone will be a little bit different. We can do that by changing our ordinance. Is that correct?
The ordinance, as recommended by the Planning Commission, has a number of changes that include ways to consider transportation and transportation impacts on the vicinity of any surface mine. And no, a conditional use permit is not just a blanket permission. It contains conditions, and those conditions should be complied with by the applicant, the property owner, the operator, or there should be enforcement initiated.
Where I'm going with that is to give peace of mind to any landowner that might be along the way or bordering any of these things, that the conditional use permit to open up a mine that would be very, very intrusive to a neighborhood, for example, those regulations might be high enough that it would not be financially feasible to use that mine. Would we get in trouble with the state on that type of a conditional use permit?
With the state, I wouldn't think so. Now, the applicant could, of course, appeal the conditions, but then so could opponents to the application. I should point out that another requirement of the law, and this is in WAC 365-190-040-6, says the law requires that natural resource land uses be protected from land uses on adjacent lands that would restrict resource production. So if the mineral resource land designation is over-applied to the map, then that should have something to do with what uses could be permitted in the vicinity of the overlay. In other words, if there were an area that were that the overlay was imposed upon, you wouldn't want to be permitting a lot of subdivisions there, or probably commercial uses, or you know, other sorts of uses that might not be compatible with surface mining.
I think Chris, was you going to say something?
Yeah. I think Commissioners, I think it may be helpful to the board if Chris can go over the WAC criteria and RCW. That will give you some perspective in terms of looking at both what the Planning Commission did and what the Task Force did, and whether we are very close to complying with those WAC and RCW. So let's Chris go over what they already prepared that is in your packet.
Commissioners, good evening, Commissioners. I think Chris Cook had anticipated discussing the statute and the WEC and the outline we'd prepared for the board, but I think to sort of put it into perspective, I think Chris has already described the fact that initially when you look at this, you look at parcels, if you think of this all as a balancing act to some extent, number one, and number two, to try and locate property so you don't create an inconsistency, and where you create mines, you don't create intense land uses where they create an inconsistency. So together, you try to recognize the need to protect your resource lands, but at the same time protect them from intrusive uses once you've allocated them. In terms of how you go about that, the board has some opportunities and some challenges, and Chris will talk about what the WAC say, but the WAC, neither the WAC nor the statute says that the exact road that's necessary for a particular mine has to be on the ground today. And certainly it is true that some of the, if it is reasonable to construct the infrastructure, if the mere fact that the road's not there today does not mean it's inappropriate to designate a mine that otherwise is a higher quality or a long-term production. So there, that doesn't mean that that's the end of the equation, of course. There are factors that still have to be balanced. And as I said, I think Chris will talk about those. But the idea is that you do have some flexibility in terms of whether the county builds infrastructure, recognizing the need to have resource land, whether it be timber, agriculture, mining, or any of the other resources that we use. The county frequently uses, in the interest of the public as a whole, county funds for those purposes, and we build public roads for throughout the county for those purposes. So the fact that those roads might be constructed in part with county funds, in part with private funds, or some combination of those, is not beyond the comprehension nor the contemplation of the legislature. So there are some options, but again, I think you have to take all of this into perspective and weigh it as you go through both the statute and the WACs that tell us how we're supposed to look at these properties and try best to balance the competing interests, because there clearly are and always will be competing interests. I think the legislature recognized it, and the statutes even contemplate it. And they frequently won't tell you the exact answer for a reason, because as Commissioner Mielke mentioned, they're very fact specific. In one location you may say yes, and in a slightly different location with only one or two different facts you'll say no.
So I've got a question. One of the obvious thing that we're trying to do here is to separate the subjective from the objective. If the law says we must do something with or fulfill its intent, and we don't do that, we will get sued. And just as an example, the representatives that represent the citizens here, the previous leadership tried to go to bat for local development. This Department of Ecology came out with stormwater requirements that, in the judgment of the previous leadership here, appeared to be just showstoppers. Couldn't get permits. And they compromise on that. Well, we're not really going to follow that exactly. We're going to come up with an alternative way. That resulted in a lawsuit. We lost on all counts of that lawsuit. And today we're paying millions of dollars as a result of a settlement of that. So the easiest thing to do for elected representatives is to look out there and see all these individuals, organized, intelligent, wealthy, all of those things that speak of power. The easiest thing to do is just say, well, I'll just do what, I mean, this is easy. I'll just, what do you want? Good. Crowd, you citizens count. But at the same time, if we don't get this right, and we say, we'll just take it off the map, because it's, well, that's the way, with the roads aren't existing today, it's too intrusive, it's noisy, all those negative things, and then we get sued. And then we end up starting with a disadvantage, because at that point we end up with specifications of what we will do dictated to us. So it's important that we get this right. So the way for us to explore the potential futures here is to ensure that the neighbors that are here that don't want the mining going on there now, that their rights are respected. But at the same time, generations from now, this is a multi-generational kind of a step that the state is trying to ensure that we don't pave over, we don't build over these resources that are finite, they are limited, is to make sure that we don't just simply, with the current state that the way that it is, that we don't just simply lose that opportunity. Because here's what I'm thinking. If we know that they're in a particular area, there is known good, large quantity of high-quality material, and because the current road feeding that goes through neighborhoods that are it's troublesome to the neighbors, so we don't put it on the map. But there's a potential another route that if we were to set the conditions that if we ever do extract that, you have to go that other route. You have to build another road around the neighborhood and make sure that that doesn't happen. If we take it off, then naturally we're not preserving it. Then naturally we're encroaching upon that space, and naturally we're going to permanently lose that resource. And yet, if we are to identify, it's known, it's there, and but this is not the way to get to it, and we preserve that particular area, and we also, with the other criteria, that we've got to identify at least a potential alternate route that's going to mitigate the problems for transportation, then we will have fulfilled the state mandate, we will have identified the resources for our generations to come, and we will have protected the neighborhoods that are object to the current situation there is today. Do I understand that right? I'm trying to get A versus B. I'm trying to identify and preserve with and still protect the adjacent, the neighboring properties.
I think what we did, we kind of cut you short, Chris, in your presentation of a criteria, and you might answer some of these questions.
Well, that might. Yes. I'm not going to go through every detail of every criterion because I think everybody here has talked about them quite a bit already. They are in the outline at the front of your binder, and Oliver said that they are available on the department website, right? Okay. But I'll go through a few things. So it would be fabulous if the law said this is all objective. Either you have to do it or you can't do it. But it doesn't say that. So instead, it gives us a whole basket full of factors that must be considered. So I mentioned that the county is required to designate mineral resource lands. This is our first update, and we started with the DNR maps. So the classification criteria are as follows: geologic factors, and it doesn't say what the geologic factors are, environmental factors, economic factors, existing land uses, and land ownership. So when looking at an area, one must look at all of those factors before designating or not, but making the decision about mineral resource lands designation. So geologic factors is the first one, and that's the most obvious. You're not going to designate for mineral resource lands some place where there isn't good rock. But the fact that there is good rock someplace is not end the inquiry, because there are other factors that must be considered. This has to be done as a county-wide process, except for owner-initiated requests. The county must not knowingly preclude access to mineral resources that could otherwise be significant. And counties must consider that mining may be a temporary use at any given mine, and that other land uses can occur on the mine site after mining is completed, which is certainly true. So that's the first set of ideas, and I wanted then to draw your attention to long-term commercial significance, which is what we're looking at here. We're looking at mineral resource lands of long-term commercial significance. That means, and this part has to do with ag land, growing capacity, productivity, and soil composition of the land for long-term commercial production. Okay, so we're talking about the existence of rock there for long-term commercial production. In consideration with the land's proximity to a population area and the possibility of more intense uses of land. So that's what long-term significance is about. The statute also requires that the commission consider the factors that were adopted by what's now the Department of Commerce and are set forth in the WACs. So The county is to classify land with potential long-term commercial significance. And when you think about that, again, you have to think about possible other more intense uses, and you have to think about existence near population areas. Counties are to use maps and other information on mineral resources from DNR and USGS and any other relevant information from property owners. So that's another set place where information is to be used. Classifying mineral resource land should be based on geology and the distance to market. And then there are a number of ways to consider the resource listed under that. Other factors to consider should include the ability to access the needed minerals may be lost if suitable mineral resource lands are not classified and designated. So this speaks to your concern about what if it all gets paved over. That could be a problem. The effects of proximity to population areas and the possibility of more intense uses of the land in both the short and long term, including the availability of public utilities, public roads, other public services, general land use patterns in the area, zoning and parcel sizes. So that doesn't just mean on the piece that you're considering for designation, but in the area around it. And the energy costs of transporting materials. Designation guidelines under the WAC, the county should determine if adequate mineral resources are available for projected needs from currently designated mineral resource lands. And although there were representatives of the industry on the Mineral Lands Task Force, I'm not sure that we got any information from them about whether mineral resources are available for projected needs. That would seem to require data. There was no data. Counties may consult with WSDOT and other regional planning organizations to determine future mineral resource needs for large transportation projects. Okay, then other considerations. So if you have, for example, ag land that would be suitable for mineral resource land, it is possible for those designations to overlap. They don't have to overlap. The county should figure out whether one of those designations has greater long-term commercial significance, and that designation should be assigned to the lands.
Chris, yes. I got a question. In order for us to show our work, mm-hmm. in other words, to end up with a legally defensible solution, mm-hmm. a decision, we need to be able to ensure that we have fulfilled those requirements. If it says we shall consider mm-hmm. the long-term needs for the material in our area, and it, that includes both the availability of materials as well as what the projections are for major projects to be built, then I assume that we have to do the due diligence, that is to ask the right sources for that material or for that documentation. If we have, I don't believe it's sufficient for us to say, well, we don't have it. I think we have to go to the sources, if they can be identified, ask them formally for that information, and say either they didn't respond, so therefore we've done our part, that's as much as due diligence mm-hmm. as we can do, or they provided this and now we can consider it. As far as I know, we haven't actually made a formal request for the needs, and we haven't, or for the potential summary of what available material is in the ground.
And I can't answer whether we have done that or not. That would have been something that would have been done in planning with Mike Mabry.
Can I ask the Planning Commission about that? Can we say that those requirements have been met?
So we asked, actually, in the meeting, that's why I was just telling Ron I wish these were searchable, because we did pose the question in a couple of the Planning Commission meetings, and folks will have to help me on the wording maybe, but it was basically that they're company proprietary data, and it's not going to be discussed in a public forum.
Okay. So I would think that the business owner who wants to protect that intellectual property at this point ought to understand that if you don't provide it, you could potentially just simply lose it, which would be the exact opposite of what they want to be able to do, right? So the question is, when this whole process, this public process of just simply going to the Planning Commission meeting after meeting, you guys have spent many dedicated hours on this, is that sufficient for us to be able to say, check, we inquired, we gave plenty of opportunity, it was a public process, none of that was presented to us, and therefore we have satisfied that requirement? And that question really goes to our attorneys here, because I want to make sure that if we make a decision, that we're not going to end up having that decision voided because we didn't get the answers and follow that what you just read off there.
So, Commissioner Medor, the Planning Commission did designate land. We designated it based on information that was made available to us, including the Mineral Lands Task Force. We did specifically ask, in the terms of long-term significance, what was the volume that was being extracted now, and how much did we believe the existing designated land would yield in the future to try and determine what we needed in that regard. There was no answer given to that because of specifically just what you said. This is proprietary information. We also recognize that aggregate is a regional commodity, and this is not the exclusive source for available aggregate that is utilized in the county or in the region. That there is competition for that aggregate based on availability to specific projects. We cannot project projects into the future and consumption requirements thinking that it's going to be exclusively taken from Clark County designated mineral lands. We can only work with what historical data we have that says here's what our extraction rate has been and here's what we would expect it to be continuing into the future. We marched down through all of those criterias, including the environmental, including the land use policies, as we made our designations. And I think you can see that the record on our votes shows that we took the testimony and had the deliberation parcel by parcel. So I think your concern about whether you can say, as far as the Planning Commission checking off the boxes, I think you can be well assured that we did do the deliberation specifically to meet the criteria of the state and to build the record that would be defensible for you.
Well, Chris, by the guidelines that you laid out there, it's obviously difficult to even identify or place a would-be place to preserve for aggregate with that alone. But one of the things that bothered me that kind of led to this meeting here, as I went through the minutes sometimes, and I'll use I think it was number 9 or number 8 or number 10 that was identified for aggregate, and I think it was removed because the property owner didn't want that. And then one of the criteria was ownership denial or ownership request. Now, request we wouldn't necessarily know, but if we identified their land as for aggregate and they said, no, I don't want that, then that's removed.
There weren't very many owners of the properties involved who came and took part in the public process. And I think you will see if you look at, I'm not sure which is 8, is that Yeah, that's Yakult Mountain, and that was the Hunter Family Trust, I think, that manages that land for forestry currently. And a representative of the trust did come and testify, but I think if you look at the Planning Commission's deliberations, they looked at a lot more than whether the owner wanted it in or out. So they actually looked at the other considerations, and ultimately I think they concluded that there was more long-term commercial significance in timber rather than in rock in that particular area for a number of different reasons.
So my question is then, the landowner obviously came to the Planning Commission and said, I'm doing a tree harvest out there right now. It's not proper to identify me as aggregate.
Yes, sir.
So by his request, we can remove those. He could have it removed.
I think it has to be more complex than just the request. That's certainly a factor.
Yeah, well, that's what the Planning Board stated. They removed it because it's by request.
Well, let's see. I think there was more on Parcel 8. If on page 27 it says, we do have a resource designation on this property right now. That resource designation of forest is to me much more compatible for all of our other considerations in the county than trying to expand the mining. In relation to the road, there's a really steep slope, I think, following the contour here. Terrain is dropping off. It's very steep. That's a concern. So there were a number of things, and another issue was that there were a number of creeks there that flow directly into the East Fork of the Lewis, where there's a steelhead project. So you added up the phenomenally steep slopes, the bad road, the desire to, and that was all discussed, though it's not all on this.
Wouldn't that fall more under a conditional use?
Let's see.
That criteria. The whole west side of the mountain is wet. And we have creeks, seasonal creeks, and everything else. So I guess where I'm going with this, I want to know if, in respect to that landowner, that we give that a priority at their request to do tree harvest instead of aggregate. And we could use that for other areas also.
That is a consideration that is within your discretion to make.
Okay, that's all I wanted.
But there are also, you know, if you look at the classification criteria, it includes environmental factors, economic factors, existing land uses, and land ownership. So those four come in as well as the geologic factors. But I wanted to answer Commissioner Madore's question about seeking data from the industry. Nothing would preclude sending out a question right now, and it might be a good idea.
Sure.
And perhaps to the degree that the industry has an interest in this process, they would be able to provide an answer.
Well, first of all, I hope my question is not misunderstood. I'm not advocating to change the outcome from the Planning Commission. I'm advocating to ensure that whatever decision that we make is legally defensible. And if we leave stones unturned or undocumented well enough, that's going to be our chink in our armor, and we won't be able to defend that decision. So what I'm thinking is to reinforce the decisions that the Planning Commission has made. We ought to do two things. One is we ought to ensure that the DNR, who is the owner, the public owner of some of these lands, and that ought to know what these lands possess in the way of minerals, that's not private information, that's public information. We ought to make sure we have a formal letter that says, we're considering these areas here, we ask for you to supply that information that's pertinent so that we can factor that in, and we're going to get either no answer or we're going to get an answer that we can count on, at least factor into the situation. If we get no answer, we've covered our bases. That's sufficient. The other part of it is that we ought to, I assume that the biggest user, consumer of that material would be the Department of our own Washington State Department of Transportation. We ought to send a formal letter to this to them, I assume, and they would refer back to us and say either we're running out of that material, or we will have, or this is really we got plenty of sources. We can just simply take. We have adequate sources.
The WAC specifically suggests that.
Yeah, just to cover those bases. Ron, you were shaking your head no.
I do think it's somewhat supposition to think that Department of Transportation would be the majority user of the aggregate. Certainly...
I'm guessing.
Yeah, certainly they are a large consumer, but once again, it's a regional resource. So I think we really have to go specifically to the idea of what's being used now, how is it being used, and in what volume. The question, once again, as we posed it, is to try and have a clear understanding in the terms of long-term significance, what is the volume being extracted, at what rate, over what period of time would we expect what had already been designated to be adequate. All the work that we do within the context of the comp plan always is talking about existing inventory serving the future purpose for an explicit period of time. We do a 20-year comp plan. We revisit it in fives. It's the same kind of thing. This inventory is similar to anything that we deal with in the form of an inventory of available resource land, available commercial land in this case. So we were looking at what is the marketplace, and in that marketplace, how much is being extracted for that marketplace currently. Department of Transportation is a component of that, but I would hate to think that we hung our decision based on just Department of Transportation.
Which is a good point. So if there are other major sources of that information, we ought to identify them. I don't want to string this out and make a whole bunch of extra work, but I want to basically ask the basic questions to verify that we have followed process here in reaching this decision. So if there are other sources for that kind of information, then if somebody said in the future was to challenge us, that we could say, well, we went to them and them and them, and this is the response that we got, or this is the response we did, or we didn't get any response, and we check it off the list and verify that we've made our decision bulletproof.
I think we do have that information somewhere, but that's not what the state's asking us to do, other than long-term supply. And I guess where I come from, I'm sorry, I guess what the state is asking is a long-term supply, and it's like trying to plan for something for 50 years. Nearly impossible because everything changes. But my concern as to where we went, and the question that I'd asked, is the elimination of so many sites that a big part is economic as well as population. And when you put in all the restrictions and considerations that you have to take into consideration, and then you remove the other sites, I get concerned about that, because we're already looking at a conditional use, no matter what it is. Another two sites that I'm looking at is number 4 and number 9. I think that was removed because no one had made a remark whether they supported it or opposed it. On page number 14 is what I'm looking at. In fact, I think it was our staff member that made the remark.
If you take a look, Commissioner, at page number 13 also, which is right in front of tab 4, that has some of the minutes about 4. And is that... the area by Tebow, is that what that is? Yeah, go to 4, please, Jose. Okay, so the area with the crosshatch is, I think, an existing mine. And I believe if you refer to the testimony from the public, there was a fair amount of testimony from folks who reside very, very close to that mine. 4 would have been an expansion, and there was no one there who spoke specifically for the expansion, as I recall.
Okay, now that you've mentioned it and we've identified, I was just going by the minutes, reading the minutes,
mm-hmm.
and what brought concern. Looking at the site, I am familiar with that site, and I do know that they were concerned about the caving in of the slope alongside, close to the homes there.
Mm-hmm.
And I assume that none of these green spots on our map are speculative. Are all of these known deposits?
Correct me if I'm wrong, but on 4 and 9, what we discussed was that those were. There was no identifiable resource, and I'm reading what we said,
right.
So I'm hope I'm saying the same thing. And that the other thing we said, if someone came and said we want a spot, we wanted them to show up and tell us why. And if they did that, then okay. I mean, there was some rationalization. My only problem in my position on this was I wasn't sure that we had let those people know between work session and. Meeting that was a criteria, so maybe they didn't show up. That was the only issue. But 4 and 9, I believe, we were looking for someone to speak on it.
Well, and the fact that the DNR's resource inventory didn't show any resources in those parcels.
So, as I understand this, this law speaks to known resources. It does not allow for, or it doesn't require us to put any spots on the map that is speculative.
That's correct.
We eliminated that.
Okay. I don't know what 9 is. I think it's over.
9 is above. If you go up that road,
that teeny
that's
little
be at the top of Yakult.
There we go. I think the top of Yakult is 8.
Right, yeah.
It's the existing mine is shown on Yakult in crosshatch, and then 8 would have allowed for expansion of the overlay into areas that are not being worked now.
Commissioners, the only thing is I might say about that last statement is I didn't see where it precluded us from doing that. So if someone came with their own property and said, I want to do this, that was the struggle I was having, was saying, okay, this is your property. But we had no testimony to back that up. On, I think one we did in the very beginning. So I don't think the statement said before was it that we couldn't do that. It just said you needed to, once again, look at the...
Okay.
If there is a resource there.
So the law allows us to define a criteria ourselves as to what is required in order to put a spot on the map. And if we set our policy that says if you want it on the map, then you have to follow these criteria. And first of all, you need to you can't guess at it. Provide the documentation that shows there's known good material there that's worth worth preserving.
Yeah, and I think we made that recommendation. But again, I just looking at the record, whether those people were notified specifically that asked for those spots to be placed on the map, I can't speak to that. And so I'm probably in Chris's arena there. But
actually, that would be all of hers.
We did made effort. To advertise the hearings and notify through our legal process, the date of the hearings and time and place. So there's some folks that have been following this through the task force before it gets to the Planning Commission and knew what the task force recommended, and were able to show up and testify to that effect. And we also made the record available that they can continue to submit comments and input until the board makes their final decision. So there's still opportunity for them to weigh in. The record is not closed until the board makes the final decision. But we made extraordinary effort to inform the public about this process.
In other words, we've met the condition. Check that one off.
Yeah, and they didn't show up, so I was... But.
I guess that's not to stop them from coming in and applying later with condition.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and when the board gets to the development regulations, which the board, the PC reviewed and also made a recommendation to you, there is a criteria for applying and removal of the overlay. So if you approve that, there will be opportunity for property owners to use those criteria to apply for placement of the surface mining overlay or removal. So that is also available going forward.
So I can see that. That's the same criteria on number 9. It looks like it's on the edge of bedrock, and I don't know why that was put on there or taken off. Number 9. I go back, I look at the map, and identifies it's on the edge of the bedrock, and I don't know who put it on and who took it off. Or I'd say.
Well, on page 14, again, it says the DNR resource inventory shows no known resources on that parcel or on that site, and nobody spoke up for it.
Okay. So somebody at one time must have said something, so we put the site on there. They didn't show up to testify, so we removed it. Okay.
Or send in an email or call anybody up or reach out in any other manner, which, you know, did occur with some property owners.
Okay. There's a site, the very first one, number 1,
mm-hmm.
was reduced in its size.
And that was after communication with the property owner.
Oh, okay.
So basically, except on that, we're talking about possible of the engineering study that actually...
I got a question regarding 14. 14 being right adjacent to the current Livingston Mountain Quarry. If we were just simply to use the current conditions, which are unacceptable to the neighbors that currently occupy the road that those trucks are going up and down now, if we were to use that criteria for the main objections for Area 14, then we would just simply take it off the map. But if there's an alternate route, DNR, if there's an alternate route, and I don't know the topography up there, that would provide a way to the west or a way to the north that would allow access to that area, which is further away from the north of the mine, and that would be a condition that would be set for the condition of extraction. If we set that as condition, would that allow us to leave it on the map? If not, then the right thing to do is to just simply remove it.
Okay, first I want to address a little misconception. You don't set a condition for extraction when you're designating the land.
Well, so you have to keep in mind, because these are tied together. There's identification, preservation, and extraction.
Mm-hmm.
And extraction has to do with resources that are not necessarily present. They could be created, built a generation or two from now. But if we take it off the map now and then we encroach upon it, then we've lost it for good. So the question is, do we, if there is a potential future access to that would mitigate the problems in the future, is that a criteria for simply preserving it and saying, and knowing that we set the criteria for the conditional use to require a acceptable route?
Well, access to roads is a criterion for designating.
Right. In other words, if we don't have current roads that are acceptable now, then we take it off the map.
I think that is a matter of discretion for the commissioners. It is something that you must consider and make a decision on, but I don't think that the criteria tell you what your decision must be.
Chris? Oh, I was just going to say, I hate to sound like I'm ducking this or making it more complicated, but the simple fact is, it can be both a positive factor and a negative factor. Okay, so access to roads, if it's easily accessible, of course, it makes it easier to classify. The fact that it's very difficult to access or that the road is in very horrible condition would tend to weigh towards not classifying or designating a particular parcel. But all of this depends, to some extent, on the resource itself. So, for example, if you're low on rock or if this is very high-quality rock, then you may decide to invest money into the road and you may give less weight to the existence of the road because you've concluded that the resource itself is important enough that it's worth making that investment in. It all depends to some extent on the facts that you know about each of these sites and the balancing, which is why Chris said it's to some extent it's a policy decision. It's that balance that you make in terms of, for example, if we find out from DNR as a result of the letter that I anticipate the board may request get sent out, that rock is very high quality or there's something unique about that site, then the county in conjunction with the state may be willing to make more of an investment in an alternative access that would provide a way for you to say, yes, there is a viable access route. But all of this requires, again, this sort of balancing. You have to conclude what's more important than what else, and how you want to weight those, and that's really the call that you get to make, both get to make and have to make.
Okay. And Chris, I'm sorry, and you were only talking to transportation.
Sure.
And geology there. In addition, you must also consider environmental factors, economic factors, existing land uses and land ownership, as well as all the other variety that are listed here, but those are, you know, those are the big five that kind of sum it up.
Okay. So whereas I've been assuming that this is kind of like a once in a lifetime major decision, and if it's not on the map now, it's not ever going to be on the map. But it sounds like we have to have some criteria by which new sources can be identified in the county in the future, and it could be a year from now, 5 years from now. And at that point, we evaluate that. We consider all these criteria. In order for that spot to make sense on the map at that time, we could say, well, you need to have an acceptable transportation route to be able to get in and out of there before we'll actually put it on the map. So we can specify that in the future. There's nothing that closes the door today permanently unless we end up encroaching on it and make it unavailable, right? So we can say it's off the map because it doesn't make sense with the current infrastructure. If you want something on the map, come forward with a plan that makes it acceptable. That's an acceptable outcome. We can end up with that decision, right?
Yes, you can. I think if you look at the current route, what you can see now is the really logical established transportation route, which is 262nd, running north and south. And this is on a hilltop, if you really look at it. And I'm not sure, without any transportation or intensive transportation analysis or circulation plan, what alternative route will be built for Area 14, whether it's east and west, but the current route now is 262nd Avenue.
Okay, we'll move on to something.
And I don't know whether Commissioner Eileen wants to say something.
As we make these designations and we recognize areas that would be preserved today, we update this every 7 years?
Eight now.
Every 8 years. Are we bound to mine any of these, or can we identify? Say we identify something, but once we get there, we find out it doesn't work. But the conditions are just such that you just can't do it.
Well, first of all, you have to have an operator who wants to do it. So
right.
You have to have an applicant, and then presumably there will be criteria in the code that speak to that.
Oh.
And that's where the criteria about transportation might be. Or another possibility, and Chris could correct me if I'm wrong here, is that perhaps there could be a designation if there were a commitment from a potential applicant to contribute to the improvement of the transportation system.
And would meet those conditional use permits that we
need
for that site.
Designation and permit are best separated.
And where I was going with that is that we have these identified on the map today. We're not bound to do that, but we've fulfilled our obligation to the state. Say, hey, we think we have it here, we think we have it there, we think we have it there. It's not bound. Either when you get there, it's not what you thought it was, or the conditional cost to get it out would be economically impossible.
Right.
Sure. Okay.
Or for whatever reason, nobody applies there for some period of time.
We have a question over here.
Well, I was just going to say that during the time that we were discussing this, I was always trying to bifurcate the idea that this is a designation process, that later there would be another process of the operator coming and actually requiring a permit of some kind, conditional permit. And we have before us a letter dated January the 29th. It's in our packet from Department of Natural Resources that seems to identify that parcel, I think it would be 14, or the bordering the DNR land, that it's got good rock. I mean, you know, they are identifying, it looks to me like, past volume, possible future volume, and other things. I think when we considered this parcel more than anything, it was the transportation vibration. It was mitigating factors of actual action of mining. But I think transportation was a very huge portion of the problem of getting those big trucks down the narrow roads and very, you know, steep, hilly roads. But I guess I would just say that really what I wanted to say and thought during this whole process that I thought was missed was that this is a designation and identification process so that we know where the resource is. And later there's another process. But, of course, the public doesn't – they think it's a done deal once it's identified. And so
I think you're right. I'm somebody in one of the letters –
So they're whispering there and saying, yes, it is a done deal.
Yeah, talk about the situation that we're in on Livingston Mountain, and they use the example of the chicken and the egg, which came first.
Yes.
Somewhere along the way, county made a mistake, either by allowing the construction of homes there or by allowing the mine to be there. So,
Commissioner Melky, you hit it on the nose, because I think that is the part that the public came in and said, the county has done a poor job of that second step. And if you look, it wasn't just traffic, it was significant blasting issues with home damage. It was over at, I know we've heard the water issues over at Yakult and things like that. And then mostly there was no response over and over and over and over and over and over and over. There was no response to these issues. So we had failed them. in that second process, because I came into this thinking exactly the same thing. This is an overlay that somehow, and I asked it in one of them before, it's in the record, where I said, look, we're just identifying resources. That's how you started this out. But where it quickly went was, and I think it's fair to say, because my struggle on 13 and 14 was, I was trying to break it up to say, can we look at this one? Can we look at this one? Let's look at that traffic study. Commissioner Baum said, hey, let's try to put a traffic study. You can see us, even at 12 o'clock at night, trying to figure out what it was. So it's not only that we need to separate what your position is on, is this is an overlay or versus this is a permit, which we understand that, but we need to be sympathetic and sensitive to what was heard. And that's where I just trying at the end said, yes, I agree with you. If my house was, that was happening and there was no response, then something's got to change. So.
Absolutely. I think that.
I'm surprised at that.
Hey, you're popular.
No.
And you're right. I think that we've made mistakes in the past. We don't want to make that same mistake. We've had problem with Yakult Mountain Quarry also. So anything we do in the future, that's where we recognize more now that has to be anything that goes forward, no matter where it is, there's going to have some type of conditional use permit that right. would recognize anything that would degrade the environment, the traffic, or living.
And really quickly, and I'll get off my soapbox, but I want to be clear, though, that I thought of the truck driver that needed a job. I thought of the company that needed to expand. So as I say that, it's this balance that we all are facing. And I think if you can work your way through that to say, look, protect the county from litigation and protect our resource. We don't have enough jobs. Our schools are taking hits. Everything's taking hits. So the other side of this coin is not simply, sadly, is a house getting rocked or is a road not built wide enough or whatever. It really comes down to this is not a simplistic decision, obviously, on 12, 13, and 14.
That's right. And I think that's what we're faced with, DNR. DNR is insisting that they have that right to do that and say, well, maybe you do. And in that case, you have to meet these conditions. So
the only thing I'd add, Commissioner, is extraction under the code, under 4250.020, pure extraction, if all they do is mine, that's a permitted use, so it doesn't require any particular permit. Now, generally, they rarely just mine. They almost always crush, and usually on site. Now, there's a few places in Section 30 where they have just crushing operations. They've exhausted most of the mines, and those are conditional use permits. Asphalt mixing, concrete batching, clay, and rock crushing are all conditional. But if all you do is mine, those are permitted outright. So if the board's goal really is to make sure that all of the mining uses are reviewed under some kind of a CUP, we'll have to talk again about that. But I just wanted to make sure that we didn't mislead you on that.
With that being said, if they were to just mine, they still have an impact if they transport.
Clearly, yes.
Condition. And right now, the mine on Livingston Mountain does have a conditional use permit because they do crushing there.
That one we.
So, yeah. Well, it was a permit, and the board doesn't give permits.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But it was pursuant to our current code, which is one of the reasons that we think that the current code might use a little looking at.
Okay. Question?
Yes. Past performance is a pretty good indicator of what we can expect for the future. If there's been problems in those over and over and over again kind of problems that have not been addressed, and I expect unless we have a significant change that of operators and stewards over it, that we can expect more of the same. And if there be any parcels on here that we want to make sure we get right, it's 14. And 14 is the one. When the Planning Commission made your decision to remove all of 14, were you unanimous on that decision?
The
And you're sad, Eileen. You tried to separate out the identification preservation from extraction.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Are you satisfied with how you settled out? How the Planning Commission finally settled on that?
Let me ask mm-hmm. part of your question. They're under current permit. If it was to be expanded, it would have to be different.
Yes.
That's one.
Right.
Secondly, I noticed that you had trouble combining 12, 13, 14, and at one point you removed 14 and asked for a traffic study. Was there ever a traffic study done? Do we know? Still not?
Well, commissioners, there were traffic study done, and I think it is in your packet. There was a traffic study done twice, if not three times, and they came to the same similar conclusion in terms of side distance, truck traffic, and I can't find it now, but I believe.
Okay. So, Oliver, it's recent? It was since
yes.
the
yes.
request?
Yes.
Okay.
It was
important.
Yeah, we did. Yes.
All right.
And it is on tab. I'm not sure, but I know it's in here somewhere.
Well, that's okay. If
yes.
it's there, you find it and let me know where it is.
Right. Yeah.
So, Ron?
Yeah. So, commissioners, specifically in these parcels, this was the hardest of all for us to go through. I think the record is built is pretty well for you to review, but with the recent traffic study, which has been done by your staff in regard to that, what we looked at is, quite honestly, the DNR request seemed very reasonable in the context of trying to be an economic development opportunity for us. But it was outweighed by the safety factor and the context that, as has already been stated, we have pretty much already let the cow out of the barn. That if you look between 14 and 13, the parcelization that's there, we are already impacting the people in those areas. And there's nothing that will change that from a permitted use, which is already in place there. To expand it and increase the amount of activity in there, we could not justify based on the criteria that the WAC gives us to utilize.
Right. And I don't think we had any problem with 13.
No, I'm saying,
that's
but
obvious.
If you look between 14 and 13 right there.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Are those homes?
Yeah.
Yes, they are.
I believe that some of the residents are present this evening.
I think that's an affirmative.
We're not digging up the homes, right?
Be careful, guys.
Commissioners,
yes, pardon me.
Commissioners, you asked for the traffic study. They are in your package, and it's tab 8.
8.
Okay.
Yes.
So, sorry about the ignorance. So if these are already homes here, then yes, the county already closed the door, as I see it. If we had at some time in the past an obligation to preserve known material, they already closed that door.
Yeah,
they weren't preserved.
No, they weren't.
So, Commissioner, not every single parcel is built upon, but a great many of them are.
Right. Well, that's enough.
Yeah. Anything else from the board?
The only thing was there is that I really wish we would have voted on each one of them. Because that was what was in my head was,
yeah.
Look what's sitting between
them. Yeah, I saw
And
I
so
saw the...
when you see the three, it's a poor excuse, but it was
yeah.
very late.
You can't get much closer than...
Yeah.
And I think what we're looking for, we're anticipating disagreement with the DNR, and we need to be prepared to deal with DNR if we go that direction, and we don't know. Anything else? Any questions? Commissioner? None?
No, I'm glad we had this conversation.
Sometimes I know better than to ask him if he has anything else to say, but. All right. If we have nothing else, thank you all very much. I think we've beat this thing some more, but you know, I learned something a little bit more every time. Thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm fine.